Welcome back to the Kurdish Research Audio Archive. Today, we're embarking on a really fascinating exploration into the heart of Kurdish culture. We're looking at its rich and, well, really enduring culinary heritage.
That's right. And the sources we've looked at, particularly that comprehensive document, StartResearch24.pdf, they give us a fantastic window into the world of Kurdish food.
Exactly. So we're going to unpack, you know, the key ingredients, the time-honored techniques, those signature dishes.
And also the really profound cultural significance of food for the Kurdish people. It's much more than just eating.
It absolutely is. Our aim today is to pull out the most compelling insights from these materials. We want to give you a thorough but still engaging understanding of this vibrant culinary tradition, one that really transcends political borders.
Yeah, and we'll uncover some maybe surprising facts, make connections to history, to culture.
Hopefully ensuring you come away feeling, well, really well-informed and maybe even inspired to perhaps explore Kurdish cuisine a bit further yourself.
Okay, so Kurdish cuisine, where do we start?
Well, first off, it's important to see it as a distinct culinary tradition. It's tied intrinsically to the Kurdish people, to their historical homeland.
Right, a region that today spans parts of Turkey, Iran, Iraq, and Syria.
So while you'll definitely spot similarities maybe with Turkish food or Iranian food, Armenian, Arab, Assyrian, there are definitely unique dishes, unique flavors that really define Kurdish cooking.
And what's really compelling, I think, is how in the absence of a unified Kurdish state, food acts as this incredibly powerful marker of identity.
It really does. It's a tangible thing, isn't it? A way the culture persists across these different national boundaries.
Exactly. You know, think about shared family recipes passed down through generations.
Mm-hmm.
That serves as a constant reminder of their common heritage, no matter where people actually live now.
And that significance, it goes way beyond just, you know, fuel for the body.
Oh, absolutely. It seems fundamental to being Kurdish. It's at the core of social life, a medium for expressing cultural values.
But if we think about it, lots of cultures use food to bring people together, right?
Sure.
But for the Kurdish people, maybe because historically other forms of cultural expression might have been, well, restricted.
Good point.
Food seems to have served as this living archive, this enduring record. Meals become these key moments for connection, for storytelling, for reinforcing that shared identity.
Which brings up the question, how does this connection to culture actually, you know, show up in the food itself, in the foodways?
Well, one of the biggest ways is through hospitality. It comes up again and again in the sources.
That Kurdish generosity, right? Offering food and drink, especially tea, say.
Yes. Say is crucial. It's a deeply ingrained gesture of welcome. And you also see it so clearly in social gatherings like festivals, weddings.
Where specific dishes are prepared, offered communally, and shared. It's all about community, generosity, keeping those traditions alive.
And this is where it gets really interesting, I think, when you start looking at the actual building blocks of Kurdish food. The pantry, so to speak.
Yeah, it's deeply tied to the land, to agriculture, to that long history of pastoralism. Fresh, seasonal ingredients are key.
So looking at the sources, what really jumps out at you about those foundational ingredients?
Well, the grains are a fascinating place to start. Rice, birints, or brin seems to be the primary staple now.
Right, often served with meat or vegetables or in those elaborate dishes like biryani.
But it's interesting. Historically, bulgur, savar, or soar, that cracked wheat seems to have been much more central for many people.
Oh, right. The sources mentioned rice might have been more of a luxury item once for the affluent.
Exactly. And its increasing accessibility probably reflects economic shifts. But the bulgur use, it seems to vary quite a bit by region.
How so?
Well, one source suggests it's very common in Iraqi Kurdistan, maybe less so in Turkey, and reportedly not really used in Iranian Kurdistan.
Huh. That's intriguing. That regional variation in bulgur, it could tell us a lot about different farming practices, maybe trade routes.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that wheat itself has such ancient roots, so that they mentioned Jarmo, that archaeological site.
Right, early domestication. Goes way back.
It just underscores how fundamental grains are. You know, the types of flatbreads they still make probably echo that ancient reliance, too. Barley is also mentioned. Couscous, semolina.
Okay, what about meats?
Lamb and chicken definitely come across as the quintessential choices, which makes sense given the pastoral heritage.
Lamb seems particularly favored.
Yes. And, of course, being a predominantly Muslim community, halal practices are essential, so no pork.
And the inclusion of meat, especially things like stuffed lamb, cozy, for celebrations. It's symbolic, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's not just protein. It signifies prosperity, celebration, the host's status, and respect for their guests.
It marks the occasion.
Oh, Hannah, the chai lady, is here. Rosh Bosh, Hannah. Oh, this smells fantastic today. Is that a little cardamom I smell? Yes, definitely some cardamom in there.
Mmm, lovely.
It's a good strong brew today. Just a touch bitter. Maybe needs a little more sugar for me. Mm. There. Perfect.
Just what we needed.
Okay, just a few more sips. Right, where were we? Dairy.
Right, dairy. Another really significant part of the Kurdish pantry. Yogurt, or mast, seems incredibly popular and versatile.
Used in so many ways plain, as a drink like masta or eran dough.
That refreshing salty yogurt drink. And in sauces, too.
Yeah, and if you think about it, that central role of yogurt is something you see across the Middle East, the Balkans.
True, it points to a long shared tradition of using milk in lots of different ways.
And then there are the cheeses. The sources mention quite a variety. Soft, hard, from sheep's, goat's, cow's milk.
That herb cheese from Van Jaji sounds really unique.
It does. And there's that ancient technique, kunapist, aging cheese in mountain caves.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Using the natural environment, the stable climate of the caves.
To influence the texture and flavor, it shows such a deep understanding of, well, harnessing nature for food preservation. It's geoculinary symbiosis, really.
A very specific traditional skill. Mm-hmm. And butter, clarified butter, ghee, or sivagman, those are the traditional cooking fats.
So you have this sort of everyday use of yogurt and basic cheeses alongside these really specialized regional cheeses and techniques like kunapist. It's quite multifaceted.
Definitely. Okay, beyond the staples, grains, meat, dairy, what about vegetables and fruits?
Oh, the garden's bounty is huge. A wide variety of vegetables, eggplant, tomatoes, onions, peppers, zucchini, cucumbers, okra, spinach, chard, garlic.
And grape leaves, of course. Crucial for dolma.
Absolutely. And what's key is the seasonal use. Fresh greens in spring for dolma, preserved or dried vegetables for winter dishes.
Right, that shows a cuisine really in tune with the land cycles. Resourceful.
And fruits are significant, too. Eaten fresh, often as dessert, but also in savory dishes or sweet preparations. Dates, figs, pomegranates, grapes, melons.
A really rich variety. And we can't forget the aromatics.
No, the herbs and spices. Abundant fresh herbs, mint, parsley, dill, cilantro, used in cooking, and even served fresh as sides.
And a diverse spice palette. Right. Sumac, black pepper, cumin, cardamom, cinnamon, cloves, chili, paprika, turmeric, dried mint.
Plus regional blends are mentioned, like biryani spice or Iraqi mix spices. And saffron, especially with Iranian influence, and in biryani.
That saffron use really highlights the connections with neighbors, doesn't it? That exchange of valuable ingredients.
Yep.
And the regional blends suggest localized flavor profiles within the broader Kurdish cuisine.
It paints a picture of a very flavorful, very fragrant way of cooking.
Okay, so we have this amazing array of ingredients. How are they typically put together? What are the characteristic cooking techniques?
Well, one thing that comes through really strongly is slow cooking.
Ah, yes, developing flavors gently over time.
Exactly. It's mentioned repeatedly as the main way to tenderize meats and let all those different flavors really meld together beautifully.
You think of stews, dolma, shikshmeshi. Those stuffed eggplants.
They all benefit from that long, slow simmer.
Right. Then you also have grilling and roasting, especially meats like kebab, lamb, chicken, veal.
Which clearly points back to that pastoral heritage, right? Mm-hmm. Open fires, cooking meat.
Mm-hmm. And baking is fundamental, too. Mm-hmm. Especially bread, man.
Using those special ovens, the tender, that cylindrical clay or mud oven.
For flatbreads like nane tenere.
And the saj, that convex metal disc over a fire for thinner breads.
And these aren't just tools, are they? They're cultural markers. They dictate the bread's texture, its form. These skills are passed down.
Absolutely. And just like the ingredients, the cooking methods adapt seasonally, too.
So fresh leaves for dolma in spring, preserved ones in winter. Maybe certain stews like shikshmeshi are more common in winter.
Exactly. It's a cuisine that's adaptable, resourceful, using what the environment provides throughout the year.
Okay, let's get into some of the signature dishes. The sources give a great overview, starting with appetizers, malavs, salads.
Right, those welcoming bites. Although, interestingly, the traditional way seems to have been different.
How so?
Well, it sounds like traditionally all the dishes, hot, cold, sweet, were served together at the same time for everyone to share.
Communal style.
Mm.
Very different from the course structure many are used to.
Exactly. Though the sources note that modern influences, especially in restaurants, maybe in Iraqi Kurdistan or urban areas, are bringing in that course structure, starting with maize.
like fresh salads, tomato, cucumber, herbs, maybe a lemon or pomegranate dressing. An apple salad with mayo sounds intriguing.
Doesn't it? And familiar dips, hummus, baba ganoush, pickled vegetables, tursu.
So that shift towards courses probably reflects global dining trends, but the traditional communal serving style really speaks to sharing and abundance in Kurdish culture.
Definitely. And the soups sound wonderful too. Very comforting.
Nisk, that spicy lentil soup for fall and winter, sounds hearty.
And daujic, a yogurt and chicken soup. And kutulk dau, another yogurt soup, but this one with bulgur dumplings.
That variety is interesting, isn't it? From hearty lentil to tangy yogurt-based soups. Shows real range.
Okay, on to the main courses. This is where the depth and diversity really shine, I think.
Yes. The stuffed dishes seem key. Dolma with all its different names and variations.
Filling grape leaves, eggplant, zucchini, tomatoes, onions, peppers, with rice, minced meat, herbs, spices.
Adapting seasonally with fresh or preserved leaves. Regional twists too, like adding currants in Iranian Kurdistan.
And sekmeshi, those stuffed eggplants often associated with winter, maybe a bit more affluent.
Then there's the whole world of kofta, kufte, kutulk.
Right. Spiced meatballs or meatloaf or filled dumplings or pastries, sometimes using rice flour or bulgur.
Served in stews like tirshik or avjerank or even as picnic food. And vegan options too, which is interesting. Shifta, special patties.
It shows how adaptable these core concepts are, stuffing things, making dumplings or patties. They're not just recipes, they're fundamental ideas in the cuisine.
And then the kebabs, of course. Grilled skewers, lamb, chicken, veal. That dende kebab from Kermanshah sounds particularly good. Lamb ribs.
Mm. And other meat preparations like kaili, a stir fry, tirshik, that slow-cooked lamb and eggplant stew.
And kawirma, the preserved fatty meat used for flavoring. Kozi, the special occasion lamb. Even sirupi, head, tongue, feet.
Shows a real nose-to-tail approach, historically. And layered dishes, too.
Yes. Biryani, that aromatic rice with chicken or meat, vegetables, nuts, raisins, spices. Biryani Kurdistani.
And tepsi baked casseroles, like tepsi bayanjin with eggplant.
Makluba, the upside-down dish. Layers of rice, fried vegetables, eggplant, cauliflower, carrots, sometimes meat. Visually striking. And a vegan version exists.
Even perde pilav, the veiled pilav, baked in dough like a cake, sometimes listed as Turkish or Iraqi, but present in Kurdish tradition too.
The biryani sounds especially appealing, that complex mix of rice, meat, veg, nuts, spices, and makluba, that whole presentation.
It's also good to see the specific mention of vegetarian traditions. It's not an afterthought.
Right. Dishes like tepsi biyanjin, shlai patata, potato curry or soup, baked potatoes with sumac, even fritters made from wildflowers.
Fried eggs with spinach. Cauliflower with mint and garlic, that karma made with chickpeas, noko, bean and lentil stews, vegan shifta, vegan makluba.
So meatless options are definitely integral, whether inherently plant-based or adapted for meat dishes.
Now bread, men. The sources stress how fundamental, almost sacred it is.
And the sheer variety is incredible. Nani tiri, thin, cracker-like, dried, kilane stuffed, fried or griddled, like a Kurdish pizza.
Puler, round buns, samoon oval, puffy. Nane tenore from the tandoor oven. Nane harami, very thin, long, soft.
Harmishk or borsak fried from Iranian Kurdistan. Nazaji fried for Ramadan. So many types listed. Astuk, neskanan, kulur neske.
It's astonishing, really. It just shows the profound importance of bread and the incredible skill involved, reflecting regional differences and uses.
And beyond bread, rice and bulgur aren't just boiled plainly.
No. Barinka sor, red rice with tomato. Birink bimash rice with mung beans, sawar, the bulgur, used in various dishes.
Okay, what about sweet things, desserts and pastries?
Often sweet, baked or fried, usually soaked in syrup. Things like zalobia fried spirals.
Kudalicha or kalicha, those popular pastries, especially for Eid, filled with dates or walnuts, often spiced with cardamom. Kak is similar.
Baklava, of course, piklave, hala, kenefe.
And some unique ones like gilo, cooked yogurt and rice with date molasses. Sabiha's brown cookies from Mehmeti, Cade ceremonial cookies.
Traditionally served maybe in the afternoon with tea, but now also after meals, though fresh fruit is still a very common way to end a meal. Pomegranates, figs.
So while some sweets are shared across the region, they hold special significance in Kurdish culture, often tied to hospitality and celebration, especially with tea.
Speaking of which, beverages. Say sweetened black tea is everywhere. Social, hospitable.
Essential. And masta or irando, that refreshing yogurt drink, maybe fermented version dough or dew.
Fresh fruit juices, too, but kaweya kurdi is interesting Kurdish coffee.
Right, made from roasted terebinth fruits, Pistacia terebinthus, so it's caffeine-free. from Southeast Anatolia mainly.
That's really unique. Using a local indigenous fruit like that, strong bitter coffee is also common though.
But that say for hospitality and mastaw with meals really seem like key social and culinary components.
Okay, so we've looked at the food itself. What about the context? The Kurdish table, customs, hospitality, the social fabric around eating?
This is where you see the culture really embodied. The traditional mealtime etiquette. Eating communally, often seated on the floor.
On a carpet or mat, around a sifra, a cloth, or maybe a low table.
And all the dishes served at once, remember? Hot, cold, sweet, all together for sharing.
It really emphasizes togetherness, that collective experience, even though, as we noted, courses are appearing in more modern or urban settings.
But that fundamental communal aspect seems deeply rooted.
And the centrality of food and social gatherings expressing hospitality, it's paramount.
Eating together strengthens bonds. Offering food and drink, especially say, is just fundamental to welcoming people.
So the act of eating together is more than just nourishment. It's a vital social ritual, connecting people, reinforcing values.
And there's that strong preference for fresh, homemade food.
Right. Canned, frozen things are less common, especially for older generations. Even simple things like salad dressing, often made from scratch.
And while preparing these often elaborate meals might have traditionally fallen more to women, that's evolving, particularly in the diaspora. Both men and women get involved now.
But the core value of fresh, home-cooked food seems constant. It speaks to a real connection with the ingredients, the process.
You know, what about feasting? Celebrations. Food's role there seems indispensable.
Absolutely. Nowruz, the Kurdish New Year, the spring equinox. It's the biggest festival.
Celebrating spring, hope, victory, Kurdish identity. Historically restricted sometimes, but hugely important.
And the seyran, the picnic, is central. Families gather, share food, dolma, stuffed kofta, shiftar are mentioned. Communal preparation reinforces bonds.
Then there's Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr. Food is obviously crucial for the pre-dawn and evening meals during fasting.
Using staples like lentils, rice, bulgur, chickpeas, tomato paste.
And Eid al-Fitr, ending the fast, is celebrated with sweets like zalabia, dates, and tea.
And weddings, huge social events, and feasting is absolutely central.
The dishes served can even reflect the host's economic status. Maybe mutton or lamb over rice for wealthier families. Bulgur pilaf for more modest means.
Common dishes include a wedding roast, cozy, dolma, kebabs, sherbet, and iran are served.
And some regions, like Harriman, have specific food rituals tied to weddings, engagement suites, tossing sugar, a halwa ritual for good fortune.
So food in these celebrations is deeply symbolic. It communicates status, expresses wishes, strengthens the community. It's performing multiple roles.
Okay, given the importance of seasonal ingredients in history, preservation methods must have been crucial.
Definitely. Drying fruits, vegetables, herbs for winter is a classic technique. Extends shelf life, preserves nutrients.
Peppers, tomatoes, eggplants. Washed, sliced, dried in the sun, or maybe now dehydrators or ovens. Rehydrated later for winter dishes like winter dolma. Herbs hung to dry.
And that Kunapiste cave-age cheese again, such a unique, geographically specific method.
It really is. And these methods show incredible resourcefulness, working with the environment to ensure food security year-round.
We also have kawarma, preserving meat, usually fatty lamb or goat, in its own rendered fat, like confit.
Right. Salted, spiced meat, slow-cooked in fat, packed in jars, sealed by the fat, preserves it for months.
Used later to flavor dishes or eaten with accompaniments. Concentrates the flavor too.
These techniques aren't just about stopping spoilage, are they? They're part of the heritage, contributing unique flavors and ingredients that define the cuisine.
Now let's look back a bit. The historical roots, the interactions with neighbors.
This is fascinating. Kurdish cuisine has incredibly deep roots in the Fertile Crescent, Mesopotamia. The cradle of agriculture.
That Jarmo site, again, evidence of early domestication around 9,000 years ago. Wheat, barley, legumes, sheep, goats.
The foundations of the Middle Eastern diet, and absolutely central to Kurdish food. The Neolithic Revolution happened in or near Kurdish lands.
So the cuisine has this ancient depth. Early cooking involved roasting, boiling, later pottery for stews, bulgur, beehive ovens.
And the ancient Mesopotamian diet featured many of the same core elements, barley, wheat, vegetables, fruits, meat, dairy, foundational.
And being at that crossroads meant constant interaction and exchange.
Exactly. With Persian-Iranian, Turkish-Ottoman, Arab, Armenian, Assyrian cultures, shared dishes, ingredients, techniques, but always with unique Kurdish characteristics.
So specific influences.
Persian, saffron, yeah. Pomegranates, nuts, herbs. dishes like kureshte kalal, serving plain pilaf with stews, saffron, and rice.
Turkish Ottoman rule brought centuries of merging traditions, shared things like dolma, kebab, pilaf, börek, yogurt drinks like ayran, sweets like baklava, halva. Nanaytiri is similar to Turkish yufka.
Arab influence shows in shared staples like lamb, chicken, yogurt, white cheese, herbs, spices, grains. Dishes like hummus, baba ganoush, maybe kebab analogs like kutil kofta, the whole concept of meze.
Armenian coexistence led to shared use of lamb, yogurt, eggplant, breads like lavash, bulgur, lentils, beans, herbs, similar dishes. Dolma, kufta, kordofas kebab. Kerçik, a porridge name shared by Armenians and Yazidis.
And Assyrian cuisine, also with Mesopotamian roots, has shared or similar dishes like biryani, kofta, kipta, kubakuba, pacha, serupe, dolma, tepsi. Similar yogurt soups, reliance on grains, meat, dairy.
So it's truly a culinary crossroads, receiving influences but contributing too. Mm-hmm. Maybe its deep roots help preserve older traditions.
And perhaps the somewhat rustic nature, tied to pastoralism and mountains, led to unique adaptations of dishes found elsewhere.
Okay, so there's a pan-Kurdish identity, but also significant regional variations.
Absolutely. Geography, local economies, agriculture, they all create differences. The same dish name might mean different things in Turkey versus Iraq or Iran. Migration plays a role, too. Local specialties become micro-identities.
What are some examples?
In Anatolian Kurdistan, Turkey, Diyarbakir has lamb liver skewers, kadayif pastry. Urfa has special cheese and butter, pistachios, peppers. Van has the zhaji herb cheese. And Bulgur, sawar, is reportedly less common there.
Iraqi Kurdistan, sure.
Seems to be a heartland for many classic dishes. Dolma, kebab, biryani Kurdistani, fin nantiri, puffy samoun bread, kalecha pastries. And importantly, extensive use of sawar, bulgur. Maybe more than Turkey or Iran. That bulgur divide is interesting.
Iranian Kurdistan, Rusilat.
A blend of Kurdish and Persian influences. Kermanshah is even a UNESCO city of gastronomy. Features like dandi kebab, kreshte kalal using local almonds and barberries, special herbs, nanbarenji rice cookies, thak pastry, but bulgur, savar, is reportedly not used there.
And Syrian Kurdistan, Rejaba.
Less detailed info in these sources, unfortunately. Likely shares general characteristics. Dolma, kofta, flatbreads, yeah. Meat with rice bulgur. Staples like lentils, rice, couscous, bulgur, chickpeas, tomato paste, probably common. Pan-Kurdish dishes like tirshik, likely known, with local twists. So these regional differences create this wonderful, rich mosaic of flavors. Local specialties are important markers of identity.
Finally, let's think about Kurdish cuisine today, its enduring spirit in the modern world.
It's definitely alive and vibrant, adapting to globalization, but also working hard to preserve its heritage.
How is that preservation happening?
Well, families and cities still often source traditional ingredients, dried goods, cheese, wheat, from rural relatives. That connection persists.
And documentation is key. Food blogs, cookbooks.
Yes. Authors like Emil Sinjari, The Kurdish Cookbook, Cimon Zabari, My Life, My Food, My Kurdistan. They meticulously gather recipes, sometimes modernizing them slightly. It's vital work. It's cultural assertion.
There are concerns, though, right? About potential loss in cities with convenience foods taking over if traditions aren't actively practiced or recorded.
True. But these contemporary resources, cookbooks, blogs like My Awesome Things, social media, they're helping keep traditions alive, sharing them widely, reaching new audiences globally.
And in the diaspora, how does it evolve there?
The food travels with the communities, adapting to new places, new ingredients, while keeping its core. North American immigrants, for instance, still prefer fresh, halal, homemade, though younger generations might acculturate more.
Restaurants in places like London become interesting spaces, balancing authenticity with appealing to diverse customers, using local ingredients.
Exactly. There's sites for recreating tradition, but also negotiating modernity, local versus global, national identity versus cosmopolitan belonging. Food in diaspora can forge new kinds of identity.
So these cookbooks and digital platforms are really helping Kurdish cuisine reach a wider audience now, inviting more people in.
Definitely. It has exciting potential for wider appreciation.
So from its ancient Mesopotamian roots to its vibrant life today, Kurdish cuisine really offers us a captivating window into the history, culture, and resilience of the Kurdish people.
Mm-hmm. We've touched on the foundational ingredients, those time-honored techniques, the signature dishes that embody its heart.
And that deep connection between food and the social fabric, the communal meals, the famous hospitality, food's role in celebrations like Newroz, weddings, It's all so clear.
The regional variations show that rich mosaic of flavors.
Yeah.
And the ongoing efforts to preserve and adapt it ensure its legacy continues.
So, thinking about this exploration, what stands out most to you? What flavors or traditions really spark your curiosity?
Maybe you're even thinking about trying a Kurdish recipe or learning more about the region's agriculture.
Well, consider this. In a world where borders and identities can be complex, contested, the shared language of food often speaks so clearly.
That's a great point.
Preparing and sharing a Kurdish meal becomes more than just eating, doesn't it? It's a powerful, delicious expression of cultural identity. It's an invitation to connect with a rich, ancient heritage.
Absolutely. And we definitely encourage you to continue your own exploration into the fascinating world of Kurdish food and all the stories it holds.